Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As I kind of mentioned last week, this is going to be a special show. I'm not going to be bothering you with the news that isn't going anywhere, and I'm not going to try to do any marketing and or what's it going to take type of thing. What I want to do is I want to put back into context, because I've done this before, and I want to do this again, and I need to do this again as the show grows, as more and more people start getting the message and start uniting on the Constitution, as we call constitutional crusaders, then it's important to kind of cover the fundamentals of Republic Review, the argument for this process, as well as what is the process, what do we do, where do we go from here, and so forth. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to get into that. As you also know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the show where you get this type of information. I don't try to do it all the time because everybody wants to look at the grapefruit of the day, as Jerry Doyle used to say, as the news, you know, rolled out the next grapefruit. And look at this. We've got Trump talking about no collusion again or whatever. Those things aren't going anywhere. Those things have to grow legs. They have to take on a new life. They have to transform. They have to metamorphose into a butterfly. And we all will be awed at the fact that it's gone from a caterpillar to a butterfly and it flies away. But it never flies away because it loves the attention. It loves the limelight. It loves its 15 minutes of fame. And that is the news cycle. And the news cycle is to maintain the narrative on the things that they want you focused on. So I just go through the crap that they're ramming down your throat. And I'm pointing out how all of these things are typically violations of the Constitution. And what is it going to take? Do you really love your liberty? So today, this is what we're doing, and this is what we want you to get on board with. And so we'll get into that. Those of you who can't listen to this entire show, when you jump out and into your car and you can't stream because you live in an old tech car like me, I refuse to get a new tech car. Get a 605 number in your dial on your phone, 605-562-4209. And you will find that you will be able to get your Red State Talk radio on. And that way, we'll be able to keep you attuned. Let me also mention that this week we'll be interviewing Dr. Vile again. And we're going to get deeper into context with the Constitution. We're going to get into the militia and things that have fell out from not abiding by the Constitution. So I'm looking forward to that conversation because it's not every day you get to talk to somebody that has better education than you do on the Constitution. And it's really sad, friends, because, you know, we all should be statesmen. We all can't be statesmen. We all can't be students of the Constitution. But as good citizens, we should at least be very well aware of and informed about the Constitution. And I guess I'm just a good citizen because I didn't choose to take a career path on teaching the Constitution and American history. I just happen to have a little passion for it. So let me dive forward. I just want to go through the real quick, you know, what I call obligatories. And we call it groveling. We would love to have your help. We're looking for constitutional crusaders just like yourself to get involved. We're working with constitutional crusaders in a few different places. On the East Coast, West Coast and in between, literally. And so I've got to reach out to this crusader that is in the Virginia area. And I'm working with a crusader down in Babylon, which is the Los Angeles, Southern California area. People, there are good, as I point out to people, there are a lot of really good Republican conservatives in California. In Riverside and Orange County alone, there's probably more hardcore constitutional conservatives in those two counties, and let's even include San Diego County. There are millions of people that live in those counties that would actually populate both Wyoming, the Dakotas, Montana, and possibly even Idaho and maybe another state or two. There's that many because that's the concentration. If you look at the concentration of the population and where those counties are stark red and the breakdown of those counties down by the precincts and so forth, you will find that there are millions of hard, staunch conservatives down in California. And I like to point out what Douglas Gibb told me, that for the presidential election of 2016, it was California that helped get Ohio, the voters out in Ohio on voter day. There were a lot of California callers that were manning phone banks calling Ohio to say, get out and vote. Don't trust the polls. You get out and vote, and made sure they got commitments and so forth from good conservatives in Ohio. So anyway, if you want to help, if you want to get involved, reach out, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. As a matter of fact, I even got to say this. there's an individual by the name of Mike, and there's lots of Mikes out there. So I think that that's kind of an ambiguous name if I just leave it at Mike. But Mike sent me a question, and I get questions every once in a while regarding constitutional stuff, but he sent me a religious question, and I find it interesting. It was about evangelicals, Islam, and so forth. And I find it interesting, the context of his question and some other things. And I sent an immediate response saying, hey, I did get your email, and I will respond, but I'm kind of busy. So he says, absolutely no problem. And I appreciate that. But more importantly, I don't take light when somebody throws that kind of thing on my lap, when they ask me some, what I consider a serious question. They want to understand what the heck is going on. And so I want to do the best in giving them the information, not to just answer it, oh, it's this, or here, here's the formula you need. What I want to do is help them learn to find the answers themselves and to start looking at the data, the question, the context, the information, those types of things, and start putting it into the proper context, priorities, placements, and so forth, so that you and what I'll do is I'm going to go into the details of his question a little bit later on, but not today. The reason I want to go into the details is because it lends to a whole bunch of questions. His overall question and what he provided me creates a whole bunch of questions in my head, and I'm not sure if he understands some of these things. And so it's not just Mike. There's lots of people that we're busy. We're dying of the busies. We're so overbooked. We're so overtasked as a society that it is no wonder they're able to pull the wool over our eyes, hoodwink us, and say, yeah, we can do this. Don't worry. Trust us. We're the government, and we're here to help. You got to stop trusting them, and we've got to start finding the time to understand and to get involved and do the things you need to do. Get involved with us. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We would be humbled with any level of support you want to throw at us. Do not forget that Red State Coffee is supporting the content of the show and the efforts that we are doing with Reclaiming the Republic. It's not about we're pocketing any of this money. The money that we make from our sponsors and anything, from my book sales, anything, it is going to help cover the cost of my trip to Wyoming and other places. The places that I need to be. If you want to book me to go to visit you in, in Babylon or wherever, then we have to come up with some accommodations, because I have to make these critical missions, these critical trips into Wyoming. But if you want me to come out to Florida, the East Coast, you know, Southern California, wherever you want, we have to come up with some kind of resource because I just don't have that kind of money, nor do I have that kind of time to drive or anything else. So anyway, let me kind of move on. The two organizations that I highly recommend you get involved with would be the Constitution Club, theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Work with Keith Broders. He's a great patriot. He's a constitutional crusader, and I'm glad to be on his team because he's on my team. We have a symbiotic relationship, and I love it. The folks at thefirstright.org, ourfirstright.org, are the ones that are trying to just simply pass a Madison amendment. Madison wrote the amendment and just trying to get that passed to get better representations. And I absolutely support that one thing. Will that one thing, or will Keith? And Keith absolutely understands this because... God bless Keith. I hope his health, and I hope his days may be many on this earth because we need his help. Just like Bob Schultz fighting out there in the New York Babylon. The point is, and thing I wanted to say about Keith is, God bless him, because I know that, you know, we all, as we become aged, and hopefully we don't become infirmed, it gets harder and harder. And I'm hoping that I have the successes that I need so that I'll be able to rely upon Keith, and maybe he can come out and do some of my rodeos as a subject matter expert. You've heard it from me right now. That's right. There's a commitment. We're at a hard break. So when we come back, I'm going to delve into Republic Review and the argument for it and kind of set the stage for that. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Oh yeah, let me not forget. If you're doing something for Constitution Day, let us know what your plans are. We'll put in a shout out to your group, event, or what have you. We also want to thank you for tuning in. There's definitely one way you can get involved, by at least getting the information and sharing this information, this channel, this show with other people. So thank you. as I always do, and I'm going to just kind of forego. There's no sign in the news, so we'll just kind of move forward. The federal government is not going to step aside and disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So let me kind of dive forward with the last thing I need to tell you, and that is Red Pill Expo. I promised G. Edward Griffin that we would continue to let people know about this so that we get the best information out there to people. And so it is June 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it is in Hartford, Connecticut. And so you will want to be there, especially if you want to get informed regarding all the things that are descending upon you, from vaccinations, from, you know, psychology and the type of drugs they use, forced medical plans, all of this stuff. You want to go because he has subject matter experts come and speak to these issues. Tom DeWeese, I'm sure last year he spoke. I believe he'll be speaking. And the same thing with Alex Newman will be speaking and talking about the education system. This is a great event. It is the who's who within the, I'll call it, those who are identifying what is going on in the dark world or the deep state and the things that you need to know about. So again, if you can't make it, at least go online to the redpillexpo.net, I believe it is, and look up how to do the streaming so that you can at least get that information and get informed. I would tell you, if you're living close to Hartford, Connecticut, you're going to want to make the drive. You're going to want to actually rub elbows. This is a great opportunity for networking and so forth as well. So let me kind of dive forward into getting you informed. Let me start off with a process, and or I should say a methodology that I'm using with some people that I've met on the health freedom type of social pages. And so I've got a constitutional crusader that, you know, completely gets this because they were myopic. They were very focused on health freedom. And when they read my article and then when they saw some of the stuff I was talking about and doing, they go, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And they're getting involved and they're running off with this. But this is really the question that I have. And this is what I pose to everybody. What is the most important issue affecting all of our lives today, or your life today? Because obviously what you think may be important may be different than somebody else. So let's put it into context to you. Is it abortion? Is it welfare? Is it federal or government welfare going to people or corporate welfare? Is it the Second Amendment rights? Do you have a problem with gun control? Or, you know, are you a Second Amendment kind of person? Do you believe in mandated health care, or do you believe that that is a problem? Do you believe in forced vaccinations, or do you believe that's a problem? Do you believe in mandated education and the curriculum of Common Core is good, or do you believe it's a problem? Do you believe freedom of expression and religious conscience is a problem, or do you believe that the threats posing against it as the rhetoric and the legislation and the resolutions keep on coming forward saying, you know, we've got to shut this down. We got to shut down intolerance or things that hurt our feelings. Is that a problem to you? Is that a warning sign? What about open borders destroying our culture? Is that a problem? Is that the most concerning problem for you? What about mandated housing standards? How about bureaucrats creating laws instead of our legislators? What about no strategic plan for energy? I could go on and on, but I'll leave it there. What is the number one issue that is affecting our lives that you think it's just got to be stopped? The government has no business doing this. Is any of these one of those issues? If it is, then I'm here to tell you that all of these things have one thing in common, and they're all violations to the Constitution. As you've heard me tell you this time and time again, the federal government is limited. And the reason this list is exponentially growing is because they are all violations, again, to the Constitution, as Madison said most succinctly during the ratification debates of the Constitution. And I've read this to you several times before, but I need to read it again. As Madison stated, quote, "The powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction." That's it, folks. That's all they wrote. That's all they can do is what they put into that Constitution. And so, if I go back through that list, identifying abortion, healthcare, Common Core, or even education, energy, everything I listed is not a part of those enumerated powers. The federal government's jurisdiction is limited to only those things listed in the Constitution and or the ratified amendments to the Constitution that has gone through the Article 5 process. This, again, is the concept. If you understand the Article 5 process, this, again, is the concept that limits the federal government to what is constitutional because it requires the states, three-fourths of the states, to approve the change to the Constitution. Bottom line, the academic argument is easy to make. Regardless of how the federal government and states have allowed these powers to be unconstitutionally assumed, they are still and always will be unconstitutional until three-fourths of the states formally agree to an amendment to allow the federal government these powers to do what we have identified as violations. So, in the spirit of the great president who has asked, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." The only answer is to that question, what we can do for our country is while we still have our country, which is quickly slipping from our controls to the control of globalist corporations, is to get our government back into compliance to the Constitution. You know there's a process for this. And in doing this, every single problem we have that is stemming from unconstitutional government goes away. All these issues go back to the states where they belong. Now, you may have a state issue, but now it's easy to just get in your car, drive a couple of hours to your state capital, unless you live in Texas or Montana, where it could take several hours, or Alaska. But I mean, you have to get in a plane in Hawaii. But anyway, I digress. Right, wrong, or indifferent, either we accept the tyranny we are living under or we fix the problem by using the one thing that is the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution. Or if we do nothing, we will continue to surrender our individual liberties and our individual sovereignty to the inhumane globalist governance that the bankers, corporations, and leaders in government are hoodwinking us to accept. The one thing we can do for our country today is to take a stand and unite in demanding compliance to the Constitution. If we do this, it will undo the grip Big Pharma has on our government and our lives, as well as our bodies, as well as energy, as well as the education system and the global elitists. All of the big money, all of the corporations and bankers, it gets them out of our lives and out of our government because there is no mechanism within the government for them to exist. They have to go and survive on their own. The government has no business helping them. The government has no business supporting them. And the government has no business undermining our Constitution to give them the power that they want. If we do this, we take back our controls of government and end arbitrary and unlawful government. Whether we like it or not, our fight is with our local government and always has been. And even though we may have had, favorable protection for a big centralized government The reality is that a government that has the power to do everything for us has the power to take everything from us as well. Our framers were wiser beyond their years in giving us a limited and defined federal government, and they gave us the power to restore that limited and defined government again. And so I am here to tell you what it is going to take to get that limited and defined government back. That process is called Republic Review, and it kicks off kind of with an audit. But actually, there's a lot of effort that goes in front of that audit. There's a lot of effort that comes after that audit. A lot of people just like to just, you know, harp on the audit, the audit, the audit. No, the audit is a tool that is a part of Republic Review. And so with that, I'm at a hard break. When we come back, I am going to dissect this process. And you have access to all this documentation. But I am going to dissect all of this, and we're going to talk about this over today, and obviously we'll be going into tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. Nevertheless, we're going to have fun because we're going to love this because this is what it takes. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me get through the argument here. And as a matter of fact, everything I'm about to tell you is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you just scroll down on the main page, the home page, you'll find the irrefutable argument for Republic Review in bullet format. All I'm going to do is go through these bullets, and I'm going to editorialize, expand on, and or provide more detail and clarifications. The very first bullet, in accordance with Article 7 of the Constitution is a compact/contract written for and by the states. Well, how do I say that? How can I get away with saying that? Well, if you go to Article 7 of the Constitution, it says the ratification of the conventions of 9 states shall be sufficient for the establishment of this Constitution between the states so ratify the same. And so what that means is that they're requiring that the Constitution be ratified by 9 states. And so what does that word ratify mean? The legal definition of ratification is the action of signing or giving formal consent to a treaty, compact, contract, or agreement, making it officially valid. So right there in Article 7, they have identified that what the states are buying into is a compact because it has multiple parties. It's not a treaty. And it's not a contract per se, but it falls under contract law because all of these things fall under contract law. For the compact slash contract to be given force, it requires a threshold of stakeholder buy-in, which is 9 states. It identifies who the stakeholders are. It is the states. And in accordance with Article 7 and Article 5 of the Constitution, the states are the principal stakeholders. Not just stakeholders, they are the principal stakeholders. And guess what? The federal government is not a stakeholder in the Constitution. They're being delegated. So in other words, they're the subcontractor. They're the entity that gets created because the Constitution gets ratified, because they don't exist yet. And then once they create this federal government, they're the ones that are supposed to perform specific services for the states to ensure the fundamental tranquility that they talk about in the preamble of the Constitution. The next bullet. In accordance with Article 7 and Article 5, the states are the principal stakeholders of the compact, and only the states possess sovereignty over the compact slash contract. Thus, only the states can ratify the Constitution. In other words, Supreme Court couldn't do it. They didn't exist. Congress couldn't do it. They didn't exist. And the president didn't exist yet. I mean, George Washington was alive, but he was not the president at that point in time. He was just a man. Only the states possess the authority to ratify amendments to make changes to the Constitution. Conversely, the Constitution does not grant the authority to the Supreme Court, the president, or Congress, just like I said, to ratify the Constitution or amendments to the Constitution. Therefore, they are not principal parties to this compact. So the next bullet, in accordance with the 9th and 10th Amendments, the states are the sovereigns possessing supremacy over all things not delegated to the general government or the federal government within this compact. And I go through this all the time. Education is one of those things. Energy is another one of those things. Life, abortion, healthcare, housing, agriculture, you name it. Majority of the stuff the federal government is doing, they have no business meddling with or doing. The general government possesses supremacy only over those objects delegated by the states within the compact or the ratified treaties to the Constitution, and constitutionally ratified treaties, and only those objects. See Article 6, Section 2. Accordingly, the states delegated specific, that's the supremacy clause, by the way. Accordingly, the states delegated specific defined roles, responsibilities, and powers within the compact or the Constitution to the general government. And the general government was constrained per the compact from doing anything that was not specifically delegated to it within the compact. And then again, see Article 6, Section 2 and the 9th and 10th Amendments. Because clearly in the Supremacy Clause, and I can read that for you, let me just go to Article 6, and what did I say, Section 2? And so Section 2, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, or in harmony with, or in congruence to the Constitution, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. Period. And so only those things within the Constitution or ratified amendments or ratified treaties. So Just to be clear, just because they go out and create some act like the Civil Rights Act, as much as honorable as it was that they created the Civil Rights Act, until that becomes an amendment to the Constitution, it's not the law of the land. It's only the law of the District of Columbia, because that's where they have exclusive legislative rights. Remember? Yeah, that's right. So anyway, as we move forward, the only way the general government can constitutionally obtain a new role, responsibility, or power is by requesting that the states delegate the desired role, responsibility, and power to them. And this is a very formal process. And this process is considered the amendment process, which is in Article 5 of the Constitution. Clearly, the General Welfare Clause, the General Welfare and Defense Clause, the Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, and the Supremacy Clauses are not ambiguous portals for the general government to assume new roles, responsibilities, and powers. These clauses only apply to what? To the enumerated powers within the Constitution. I've read this several times. Madison talks about it in his veto message in 1817 called the Bonus Bill. Even Monroe talks about it in his veto message, as well as Andrew Jackson talks about it in his veto message. But it gets even better. In the ratification debates, they clearly define what the Supremacy Clause means, what the General Welfare and Defense Clause means, as well as the Necessary and Proper Clause. And they even get into the Commerce Clause. These clauses were only inserted to ensure that the federal government had a clear understanding of what their roles were within the enumerated powers and how to execute them. The Supremacy Clause only pertains to those things within the Constitution, enumerated powers. Necessary and Proper Clause only pertains to the foregoing powers in Article 1, Section 8. The General Welfare and Defense Clause is a general clause. It is a preamble to the granted powers, and anything that proceeds beyond that actually eliminates the fact of because the General Welfare and Defense Clause just means that, you know, the federal government is supposed to do things for the general welfare of all the states, and these are the powers that they're going to do in pursuit of that general welfare. It didn't mean that they could give you welfare. It didn't mean that they could give corporations welfare. The Commerce Clause clearly only let them establish or put in good order the trade and commerce. It did not give them the power to control everything that was growing. They couldn't dictate whether Madison was going to grow wheat or tobacco on his Montpelier, on his farm in Montpelier. And so the federal government today is dictating and charging taxes. They weren't charging taxes on anything like that, nor were they regulating anything like that. The intent was to ensure that the commerce would flow freely from one state to the other, that states could not take advantage of the fact that they had ports because they were sea-bound states, or they had sea access, and the landlocked states couldn't get to those. So they were not to be able to take any advantage. And in the Constitution, they actually talk very specifically about the only types of things that those portal states, such as New York, Virginia, and so forth, could do as far as charging for the reasonable administration of the goods coming through. They couldn't put taxes on it. They couldn't put duties or anything, to ensure that one state couldn't take a commercial advantage over other states, or a few states couldn't take advantage over all the states, or what have you. It was to make sure that the commerce was evenly fair amongst all the states, and that one state, again, couldn't dictate to other states. This is like California today dictating the standards of a car and the emissions of that car and how it is to be manufactured. If California wants a car like that, they have to make it themselves. If another car manufacturer in a different state makes a car, it doesn't meet California standards, tough. They still have to buy it. They still have to be able to sell it. The only thing California can do is make its own cars and then dictate to the other states that if you want to compete with this car, then fine. But then they can actually start playing some games. But they first have to start making the product there first. And that would be good because that would be bringing work to California. And I don't want to go over like the last time, if you didn't hear me laughing as I was just going over to the break. Anyway, we'll be right back after this break. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. All right, so as we were going into break, I was kind of going through the necessary proper, the what I call the mystical clauses, the Supremacy Clause, Necessary and Proper, Commerce Clause, and the General Welfare and Defense Clause, and how they're not portables. And if you go and read the ratification debates, Madison's veto and the other vetoes and the Federalist Papers and so forth, it supports how these clauses were defined, that they only apply to the Constitution and the amendments and or ratified treaties. Politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, officials, professors, and persons claiming profound understanding of the Constitution within and outside of the general government since 1791 have used lies, deceit, and collusion to convince the states to allow them the ability to assume unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Without following the codified, and I'm using that word correctly, the systematic process within the Constitution, see the ratification debates, as well as Madison's veto of the 1817 bonus bill, as well as the Federalist Papers. Therefore, all roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised that cannot be found within the Constitution and ratified amendments are blatant violations of the Constitution and usurpations of the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers and sovereignty. See the ratification debates, Madison's veto of the bonus bill, as well as the 10th and 9th Amendments. For almost two centuries, the general government and public servants at all levels have failed to comply with the Constitution as ratified. Inherent, so here's the beautiful thing. Inherent within contract law, is the ability of the principal stakeholders of a compact to audit their compact for compliance and enforcement. What do you do when your contract is not being followed? Most people go to court. But in that process, they have to audit. They have to identify all of the different blatant violations against their contract and identify all of them and go into court and say, here are all of the issues that we have with the Constitution or with this contractor that we have on this contract. Now, what do you do when there is no there's no court authority that has jurisdiction over anything that is not delegated in the Constitution? Keep in mind, the Supreme Court only has jurisdiction over those things within the Constitution or ratified treaties or ratified amendments. So in other words, if it's about education, which is not in the Constitution, like Common Core, then who has jurisdiction? It's pretty clear, my friends, the states. All things left to the states have full jurisdiction. They have no business stepping inside the courtroom of a federal court because that courtroom has no jurisdiction. In doing so, you're surrendering unconstitutionally jurisdiction to an entity that has no constitutional validity over that issue. So what you have to do is you have to unite the states to create the court itself. There is no court higher than the states themselves over things not delegated. It's pretty clear. And if it's not clear, send me a note, send me an email, let me know, because I will go through these things and I'll try to approach them in different directions for you. But clearly, the federal government's jurisdiction, as Marshall, Madison, and many of the framers stated during the ratification debates, it is limited to their enumerated powers. So they have no authority to have any decisions or to have any purview or oversight over any of these issues other than the states. Therefore, only the states possess the authority to and must validate all RRPs being exercised by the general government to confirm that all RRPs have either been established since the 1789 ratification of the Constitution, were properly delegated by the states by adhering to the constitutional amendment process, or they must identify that these things are violations. This must be done in a formal audit process. Except for the original three executive departments, State, Treasury, and Defense, which at that time was the War Department, the General Government's Accounting Office is another such department. And because these were defined as necessary and proper within the enumerated roles, responsibilities, and powers in the founding of the General Government and nothing more, we need to find amendments in granting the Department of Energy, in granting the Department of Welfare, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, all of these powers that they are taking your hard-earned money for and wasting on unconstitutional things need to be stopped. So this must be, like I said, this must be done in a formal audit, and it has to be done through this audit process to identify these violations. If there is no amendment or constitutionally ratified treaty for the role, responsibility, and power being exercised, such as the, let's just say, the Agricultural Department, then these roles, responsibilities, and entities are unconstitutional, need to be identified as such and called out. So the next thing we do here is we go into the we go into the next one, which is considered the action phase, and we want to ensure that this audit has the full force of the Republic. A simple majority must coalesce, and when I say a simple majority, I actually talk about this in more detail in the process, because we talk about having one state kick off the audit, and then we talk about 13 states. When we get to 13 states, we hit a kind of a magical number. But we do need to get to a simple majority, and I'll explain that when we get into the process next. And so we have to have a simple majority to coalesce and work together in exercising their authority as the stakeholders over the Constitution to rebuke the general government and use the force of the Constitution to gain compliance with the Constitution by the general government. It is preferred that all states participate in the Republic review process, and it is anticipated that over 30 states will join in Republic review. I truly believe that once you get 30 states, and once they start swinging the axe at some of these little pet projects like the EPA for California and some of these other things, these states are going to come running to this, you know, try to save this Leviathan. And they're going to realize that they're not going to be able to do anything. So the question is, what are these other states like California and New York going to try to do against the majority of the other states? And I think you're going to find out that they're going to have a tantrum. And it's the cycle of change. Like when somebody loses their job, they go through denial, then they get angry, and then they get to acceptance, and then they kind of move on. It's a 4 or 5 step process, and it's been so long since I've had to lay somebody off or have to, you know, go down that path. I've kind of forgotten what that cycle is, but they will actually go through that cycle. They're going to go through denial. You can't do this. You can't do this. And then they're going to finally accept it. But they're going to get mad first, and then they're going to try to have their little tantrums. They're going to try to do things. And they're going to realize that the way the Constitution is, that it doesn't take a minority to, you know, enforce the Constitution. It only takes a minority of the majority, a minor majority. Like in this particular case, currently, I think it's about 27 states where we have a simple majority in both houses. It could be 28 states. It could be 30 states. But we need to get to that simple majority, and we'll get into those details later. But again, let's get into the action. And as a matter of fact, I look and I've got about a minute left. And so I don't have the time to kind of cover all of the details that are in this next paragraph that's an action. But this is where the audit actually starts taking force with the simple majority coalescing. And so it is preferred that all states participate in Republic review, as I said, and it is anticipated the 30 states, but I truly believe almost all of them will get involved. What you need to look at in understanding this one particular sub-bullet of this action item, go read the Kentucky resolutions of 1798 and the Virginia resolutions of, actually, the Virginia resolutions as well as the Kentucky resolution 1799. When you look at these resolutions, which we've read through before here, when you look at these resolutions, you will find that this is exactly what Jefferson was doing. Republic review will require the general government to provide the necessary legislation to disband and dissolve all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. This must be all constitutional powers force as necessary. Okay. The states must use all constitutional powers and force as necessary to obtain compliance. Bear in mind, it is detrimental to a politician's career to fail to comply to their constituents and fulfill their sacred oath. And so with that, we're going to wrap up. We're going to come right back tomorrow and go dig into this even more. So I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.